it's really hot here. My battery is just getting hotter as summer is coming. I wonder what would you do in the hot summer? Have any one of you done any swimming recently? And I know some of you are taking swimming lessons. Then Michael Phelps should not be a strange name to you. Last year, 2008, Michael Phelps conquered the swimming pool and won 8 gold medals. And in some way, he conquered many world records. He became a hero to many, many people in the whole world. He was a winner in Olympics. Who among you do think Michael Phelps is your hero? While you're taking the swimming lessons, you probably want to swim like a fish, like Michael Phelps. Then people find out that, Yeah, that's what I'm to talk about. After Olympics, it was found out that Michael Phelps fell into addiction to marijuana, drinking, and promiscuous premarital sexual relations. Immediately, he was suspended from swim meets for 3 months, and he lost a very profitable endorsement deal with cereal king Kellogg's. Why? Because Kellogg said that the photo of Phelps smoking marijuana was not consistent with their image. It was for kids, okay? It was supposed to be healthy. But Michael Phelps smoking marijuana ruined all that. There are also times in church, especially on Thanksgiving Day or just before Thanksgiving, people will come up to share their testimonies, to tell people how God had helped them to overcome many challenges, difficulties, or crises in their life physically. But very, very rarely I would hear someone sharing on a spiritual level how God helped them overcome temptations or break away from a sinful habit. Very few people will share such testimonies. Why? Think about the addictions to the body, of the body, for example, smoking, drinking, overeating, watching TV, playing video games, surfing the web, and pornography. Addictions to these. Many people, including Christians, have become addicted to these. Bad habits of the tongue, gossiping, cussing, swearing, using profanity, lying, bad habits of the heart. Uncontrollable anger, hatred, greed, jealousy, lusting, pride, selfishness, so on and so forth. Why don't people share about these as Christians? Is it because they have not been able to conquer these in their life besides God providing for all their needs? We should praise God, we should give thanks to God because He is our ultimate provider. But don't forget that God is the holy God who wants to make us holy, sanctify us. Not being able to overcome sin and not being able to love sacrificially, spiritually, have more severe consequences than not being able to conquer or overcome your physical difficulties, challenges, and crises. Look at Michael Phelps. He was able to almost conquer the world, but he was not able to conquer himself, his inner weaknesses. I think the true mark of a true Christian is being able to overcome the addictions and the bad habits caused by our sins in our hearts. To be able to love sacrificially is another mark of true Christianity. Being able to just overcome the physical, the difficulties, and challenges or crises is not a unique mark of Christianity. Because even non-Christians, with their power, with people's help, they can achieve those goals physically. It is the spiritual battle that we are facing that we are not able to win unless we put on the full armor of God. I'm really thankful for reading this passage and studying deeper this passage, because this passage gives us so much hope in the spiritual battle against our own weaknesses, against sin, which Satan uses to try to defeat Christians. God has given us the armor of God Himself. If we put that on and let that stay on us, we will be able to defeat our inner weaknesses caused by sin and also Satan's attacks. There's no other way. You have to put the whole armor of God on. Last time we learned how to put on the belt of truth. If you missed that, you can go to our English ministry website, listen to the sermon recording. It's very important. This is the foundation. If you don't put on the belt of truth, if you don't know how to put that on and let it stay on you, you are not going to be able to put on the second piece of the armor. That is the breastplate of righteousness. If you don't put on the belt of truth, you are not going to be able to put on the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God either. What is putting on the belt of truth like? It is like knowing and understanding that smoking will harm your health. And also understanding and knowing that eating healthy diet and exercising is good for you. But will you benefit from just knowing and understanding that? Many people, even as Christians, cannot quit from smoking. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness is like not only knowing and understanding what is good for you, what is bad for you, but to choose to do the right thing and not to do the wrong thing. For example, quit smoking and never go back to smoking, even if every friend of yours smokes. They surround you and give you cigarettes, and you say no every time that they hand you a cigarette. It is also like understand the benefit of eating healthy diet and exercising, and you continue to do that consistently every day, even though every friend of yours is a couch potato. They don't exercise, they don't eat healthy, but you still do it. Which one is harder? Knowing and understanding, or put what you know and understand into practice? What do you think? Which one is harder? The second one? Indeed. And today we'll learn how to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we'll learn what it means and how it will protect us in the spiritual battle. And we'll also learn the best example of righteousness according to the Bible. We'll also learn what might distract us from putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And lastly, we'll learn from a perfect example of righteousness how to put on the breastplate of righteousness and let it stay on us, so that we can live a righteous life next night and be able to conquer the inner weaknesses because of sin in our heart. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says that above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So what is the breastplate of righteousness? Again, I need volunteers. If you don't sing, if you don't participate, you'll start tossing off or yawning. I let you participate. So what is the breastplate of righteousness? Get it? It's a plate that is righteousness. Okay? Any other volunteers? What is the breastplate of righteousness? The breastplate of righteousness is talking about righteous conduct, doing what is right, and not do what is wrong in our lives, according to God's word, based on the belt of truth. Do you know how did the breastplate in the Roman soldier's armor protect the Roman soldier? How did it protect the Roman soldier with the breastplate? Hobie! How did it protect a Roman soldier when the Roman soldier put on the breastplate of the armor? You don't know? So when you put up your hand, did you have any thoughts? Share with me. Okay, that's fine. So, Johnny.
I suppose it protected their breast.
Breast? Oh, under the breast? What is that?
Oh, protect your heart.
Yes, protect your heart, right? Not just the outside, but the breast, but the heart and the lungs. You know what? These are very important organs. I've been hit, okay, during my taekwondo sparring. At a part very close to my heart, I almost could not breathe for a few seconds. Okay? So, protecting the heart, one of the most important organs. Without the heart pumping the blood throughout your body, you will not be able to live for very long. And also the lungs. Will not be able to breathe without the lungs functioning. That's why it's so important for the Roman soldier to put on the breastplate to protect the most important organs in the body. Then let me ask you, how does putting on the breastplate of righteousness protect a Christian? What does the breastplate of righteousness protect? Johnny? Our heart. So, is it the physical heart?
No.
What is that then?
It protects our spiritual selves.
Our spiritual self? In the Bible, heart is used to represent actually the whole being, and usually to indicate the most important part of the body, that is the heart, but also represents the whole being. So without the chest plate, without the breastplate of righteousness, the whole being will be at risk. How do you put on the breastplate of the Roman soldier's armor? Let me demonstrate by putting on the breastplate of my taekwondo sparring here. I need my wife, Nina, lovely wife, Nina, to help me with that, because you'll see later on why I would need her help. Last time I demonstrate to you how to put on the belt of taekwondo. You should have learned through I instructing Lure to put it on that Lure needed to listen better if he had read the instructions. He studied it. He remembered the instructions. Then, even without me hand-holding him, he will be able to put that on himself. You'll notice that after Lure put on the belt with my help, I put that on myself by myself, without someone helping me, because I already listened, read, studied, and remembered the instructions how to put it on. But the breastplate of taekwondo, even I cannot put it on myself, okay, by myself. So that's why I have to get Nina's help. Could you help me, Nina? Maybe you can even look at my bag, see how she helps me put it on. And I have to call for it. And I have to put some pressure on the side. Maybe at an angle so everybody can see it. Thank you. Has Nina drink? Is it a good project? I can't see it. I have a lovely bird called cockatiel, which can turn the neck 180 degrees, but I cannot drop it 90 degrees. So it's not very firm and tight, and it protects my heart and my lungs. So even if someone, Johnny, give me a punch. This is what happens.
It hurts. Good punch.
But without that, think about without that, even though I had some good training, a physical training, a taekwondo training, probably I would be hurt. Maybe my heart would be hurt, and maybe my ribs could be broken. It happens. Okay? That was a good punch, but we didn't practice taekwondo. Okay? Thanks for that. But I want to demonstrate to you that to put on the breastplate of taekwondo, I needed someone to help me. Think about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Can you do that by yourself? We already know that it's harder than putting on the belt of truth. But you need the Holy Spirit's active help. You also need someone who is spiritual as your accountability partner for you to put on and let the breastplate of righteousness stay on you. And that person usually is your wife or your husband if you're married. So, while you're still young, I would strongly recommend that you get married, okay, in the future. But find someone who is spiritual. Find someone who believes in Jesus Christ alone to be saved. Because that person can keep you spiritually accountable to help you to let the breastplate of righteousness stay on you. Then your heart will be protected. But many Christians only stay at putting on the belt of truth, but not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. That's why Satan will attack Christians through non-Christians. What is the most famous common accusation of non-Christians against Christians?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy. Everybody knows that. And I believe Satan uses the non-Christians to attack us when we don't put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the accusation we would receive. Why? Why so? It is because when someone is hypocritic, that person has known and understands what is right and wrong, but it's not doing it. It's not living a life consistent with what he knows and understands. And that's why it's very natural for non-Christians to accuse Christians as hypocritic. I think they have their reason to do that. And it's a reminder that we as Christians must put on the breastplate of righteousness in order that Satan cannot attack us through the non-Christians, saying that we are hypocrites. How to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Now you have seen how to put on the breastplate of taekwondo. Do you know how to put on the breastplate of righteousness? The best way to learn is through a perfect example. Go to the next slide. The very definition of righteousness is in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And this Chinese word captures the essence of what is righteousness. This is a Chinese character that means righteousness. It's very profound in theology, just this word. Each Chinese character, as Chinese people, I would recommend you to learn Chinese because each Chinese word is a picture, a word picture that captures the history and the knowledge of the Chinese people. And since the Chinese people have long history and we have common ancestors, Adam and Eve, you will see that many of the words in the Chinese characters capture the beginning of human history, back in Genesis, including what I mentioned before, the word breeze, two trees on top and a woman stretching out her arm to get something from the tree, the cause of all sins. Eve reaching out to grab the fruit from the tree of knowing right and wrong. And here, this Chinese character on top is a lamp. Doesn't it look like a lamp? Under that is eye. So when you have the lamb on top of you, when you have offered a sacrifice that is the lamb, then God will see you through the lamb that covers up your sins as sinners. But ultimately, it is through Jesus Christ, the lamb of God, who was offered for our sins once and for all, who can give us eternal righteousness, so that in God's eyes, we are right with God. God will not judge us because of our sins. But this is only positional righteousness. That means in the position, we're in the position of righteousness, God will not judge us. But in our conduct, we still need to live out what we really are. Here it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Go to the next slide. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says that He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Jesus Christ is the true righteous one. And He died for our sins so that we will not be eternally judged because of our sins. But He also wants us to live out our true identity, the righteous one in God's eyes, so that we can also live for righteousness, not just being viewed as righteous in God's eyes, so that we will not be viewed by non-Christians as hypocritic. Next slide. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 says that, Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous. It is not he who knows and understands what is right is righteous, but he who does what is right is righteous. Just as he, here, this is Jesus Christ, is righteous. Jesus Christ is righteous because not only he knew and understood what is righteousness, but he also did everything righteous. And we should do the same as followers of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Verse 8 says that he who does what is sinful is of the devil. Wow, pretty harsh word. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning, and the source of all sins is the devil. So whenever you sin, although in your true identity you are a Christian belonging to Christ, but in your actions you have shown that you are advocates of the devil by sinning. That's why it gives us Christians a bad name when we sin. Although we know that we should not. But the good news is that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Sin's judgment and sin's slavery on Christians, sin's control, sin's manipulation of believers, if you trust Christ, not only for salvation, but also for, the word is sanctification, to become holy, to become righteous. So now we know for sure that it is God's will for us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. But why aren't people putting it on as a result more and more non-Christians don't like Christians because they believe we are hypocrites. Then why don't Christians put on the breastplate of righteousness? What are the obstacles for us to put it on? Charlene, do you know what are the obstacles? What are the things that get in the way when we want to put on the breastplate of righteousness? Can you think of some distractions that distract us from doing the right thing in God's eyes? Temptations, can you give me some examples?
Peer pressure
to conform to them, right? To be part of them.
Yes.
That is a great challenge. When you have friends who don't do the right things and you are with them, you want to be their friends, it's very hard not to follow them. There are other distractions. I can just mention a few. Entertainment can be a distraction. Pride, selfishness, friends who are not righteous, are not willing to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Anger, internet, family needs, money, work, study, too much fear, sometimes too little fear for God. All these things in itself, some of them are not wrong, but they can become an obstacle for us to live a righteous life. Think about what potential distractions Jesus Christ had when he came here to fulfill his mission on earth. Next slide. According to Luke chapter 19 verse 10, it says that, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost," Jesus Christ's mission. Next slide. Romans chapter 5 verse 18 says that, "Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men." This one act of righteousness was done by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for all men's sins. What could distract Jesus Christ from doing that? Everything that he did that was righteous, and the most important thing, the very act of righteousness that caused us to be justified, to become righteous, when we believe in what he did for us. Think about some of the distractions Jesus Christ could have. Did Jesus Christ have entertainment as his distraction? Peer pressure? Think about distractions from what you read in the Gospels. Peter, what could have distracted Jesus Christ from accomplishing his mission? Could Xbox be that?
Well, like in the desert.
In the desert, okay. You're getting there. Keep going.
Just say, tempted him, like you can get like a whole
the whole world.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big temptation, right? See, Jesus Christ came to do everything righteous, and most importantly, to die. If someone say that, "I give you the whole world so that you don't die," would you do that? Of course, first, even without giving you the whole world, some people don't want to die at the first place, and now there's incentive for not dying. That's pretty tempting. And I, by reading the Bible, found some other distractions. The crowd wanted him to be their king at that time. They wanted a king on earth immediately to protect them, to save them, deliver them from the cruel Roman rule, the Roman Empire. was very cruel to the Christians, to the believers of God. Also, facing death on the cross, that was very horrible, the most horrible way to die. Even Peter, one of his closest disciples, didn't want him to die, tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross to die. Even your closest friend does not understand you and try to stop you. Satan offered him the whole world. Think about all those. Now there's someone in danger. Someone is going to be burned in a forest fire, and you are supposed as a fireman to go save that person. And then your friend or even your closest family member say, don't go, you might die and I will lose you. Or the family needs that person to be there to take care of the family. And also saying that, do you know how horrible it is for you to not be able to save that person, and also you yourself might be killed in the fire. Someone might even say, I will give you everything you need so that you won't go die, do something that silly. I think most of us will be distracted and might follow the distractions instead of go do the right thing. Whose distractions are greater? Jesus' distractions or our distractions? What do you think? Whose distractions are greater?
Jesus.
Jesus' distractions were much, much greater. Then how could Jesus overcome the greatest distractions of all and still being able to accomplish the mission that at first sight seemed to be something that he could not gain anything from, but to lose even his life for it? How could Jesus do that? That intrigued me, and I thought about that. And I read the Bible and I found out that here are the reasons why Jesus Christ is our perfect example of righteousness. I go to the next slide. First, Jesus Christ's love for us, sacrificial love for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, this is infinite love, so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's because of Jesus Christ's love. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says that Jesus Christ is the perfect example of righteousness. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, because of the love for us, he had joy. Set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God after he finished his work for us. Continues here saying that, consider him, think about Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, want to give up, you feel tired when you're doing the right thing. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him. Think about him. Now think about how much you're willing to do for someone you love, or someone who loves you deeply. Have you experienced loving someone? Have you experienced being loved? Thought about the things that you were willing to do for that person. How many of you have dated? You should understand, especially as a man, how much the man is willing to do for the woman in the dating relationship. There's a Chinese common saying that even if there's a moon, if you want it, I'll get it for you. And think about what you love, your hobby, how much time and energy you're willing to dedicate yourself into it because of your love for that thing, that hobby. Everyone has a hobby. Yesterday I went to a beautiful wedding, and many of you were also there. It was touching because I saw two dedicated Christians being united before God and before man, to dedicate their lives to love God together and to love and serve each other for the rest of their lives. What could have motivated them to be so dedicated in the past, in the things that they did for other Christians? What motivated them to be willing to dedicate the rest of their life to serve each other? In some way, can be like slaves to each other. What drove them to do that willingly? That's what's surprising and shocking. It is because of love that they are willing to take on so much trouble, hard work, and yet they still have joy. Isn't that amazing? So if you want to live a righteous life, if you don't love God, I'm afraid that you will never be able to do that. Loving God is the key for us to be able to live a righteous life. For John chapter 14, go to the next slide. Verse 15 to 17 says that, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Love is the key. If you don't love God, you will not be able to obey what God commands you. You will not be able to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You will forever be called a hypocrite. How can we love God more? How can we love God more? That's the question for you, each one of you. For me, I spend time each morning to think and to appreciate the love of God deeper and on a more personal level through my personal worship time. When you come here, you sing songs to praise God. But I do that every day in my personal life. I don't need to have a praise team. There are many praise teams who have recorded their praise to God in beautiful songs, and I could use that. And actually, I do that. I do enjoy listening to those songs, even singing along, and to just let my heart communicate with God and appreciate God what He has done for me. I found out that the deeper that I appreciate God's love, the stronger that I have become when I am tempted. Because Jesus Christ, because of my love for Him, now I am willing to do it willingly. It's never forced. It's no longer a rule for me to do, but I do it willingly as someone there in who is in love with someone else is willing to do many, many things for the person he or she loves. Besides that, John chapter 14, verse 15 to 17 says that, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. If we are willing first to love God, and then put on the breastplate of righteousness, having the willingness to put it on and to follow God's command, God also has given us a Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to help us. God has also given us Christians who are willing to put on the breastplate of righteousness to remind us that we should put that on. That's why I encourage you to find a spiritual friend of yours who would keep you accountable. When you are not coming to Bible study, that person will call you. That person will remind you, don't be lazy. Come to study God's Word. Not just coming to Bible study, but your personal daily living. That person, out of love, watches you when you are doing something wrong. Even before that, that person would say, don't do that. It's bad for you. Most importantly, it hurts Jesus Christ, our Savior. Second, I see that the reason why Jesus Christ, despite the greatest distractions to achieve the greatest mission of all, is because of His unity with God. Jesus, the Son of God, is in perfect unity with God the Father. Jesus and the Father have the same mind and have the same will. John chapter 10, verse 30 says that, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Same mind, same will. although two persons, but same mind, same will. That's why we believe in a three person, one God, because of that complete perfect unity of the three persons. How can we have the same mind and will as God, as Jesus Christ did? Continue to put on the belt of truth, to continue to know and understand God's will and God's mind for your life. I really appreciate thinking Christians. Some Christians, they ask so many questions and they try to find out the answer from the Bible, and then they try to knit that up. If you don't think, you don't ask questions, what does God say about this? What does God say about that? What does God say about stealing? What does God say about drinking? What does God say about smoking? How about watching movies? All these. Find from the Bible what God says about that. 30. Jesus Christ, in everything that he did, because of the perfect unity with God the Father, he did everything to please God the Father. John chapter 8, verse 28 to 30 says that, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me, and has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Because of the perfect unity, because of love, Jesus Christ did everything to please God the Father. Just like when you are in perfect love with someone, there is unity between the two people. Two people will become one flesh in a God-ordained marital relationship if they indeed love God, love each other, and then they will be willing to do everything to please each other, and most importantly, to please God. Because God is the source of true love, sacrificial love. How can we do everything to please God? Start from love for God. Start from knowing and understanding God's will. Continue to think about how much it will hurt God if you do things against his will, not only to hurt yourself. Please God instead of pleasing people. Peer pressure can be great, but think about God, who is our judge. Besides being our savior and our best friend, we need to be accountable to God in everything that we do in the future when we see God face to face. Lastly, I see that Jesus Christ had a very clear goal about his mission, his life on earth. Next slide, please. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says that, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. The next slide. Again, as I mentioned, Jesus Christ came here with a clear goal to do that one act of righteousness that would cause us to be justified, to have eternal life before God when we believe in what he did for us. Next slide. Acts 1:8 gives us a clear goal for Christians as well. He says that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Be my witnesses. That is the clear goal that Jesus Christ has given us. Witnesses through our righteous living and through a clear presentation of the gospel and God's word to the lost people, not by our power, but by the power from the Holy Spirit. For you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. So let us rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to tell people through our righteous life and what Jesus Christ did on the cross for all mankind. In Baton Rouge, in New Orleans, in the beat to the ends of the earth, witness for God. Let me ask you, what does a clear goal do for you? How does a clear goal help someone to accomplish a mission? Kevin, how does a clear goal help someone to accomplish a mission? Think about what if you don't have a clear goal, what can you do? Huh? Make one accomplish? To overcome obstacles? Okay. Okay, James. I caught that. So, what do you think? So, having a clear goal, how does that help you to come to where you are now, being able to finish your LSU training and then go on tomorrow?
Helps you focus.
Think about what difference it will make with that goal, without that goal. You probably still don't know what I'm studying for. See, having a clear goal gives us a clear sense of direction. It removes confusion, helps to focus our energy, time, and resources to produce the best results, and gets you back on track when you are distracted by many things Satan the devil uses against you. This week I read from the news about the power of a clear goal, focus, and wisdom to avoid distractions in an 11-year-old boy's life. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you read from the news that an 11-year-old kid just graduated from college, community college, with 4.0 GPA? But what is not mentioned in that article, and also a video I will show you later, is that the teaching from his parents, I believe that is a big factor contributing to his success. Now let's play a short 2-minute video interviewing this young man about how he was able to get the college degree, graduate from community college, associate degree at 11 years of age.
That 11-year-old motivated by talent, demonstrating some of the martial arts moves that have earned him numerous medals and trophies. A center and trophy. Yes, there's a man. Why don't you? Motivated wants to be a lot of different things when he grows up.
Well, I want to be a mini actor and to compete in the 2016 Olympics martial arts.
But unlike most kids, motivated has been attending East Los Angeles Community College for the past 2 years, studying astrophysics. He's fascinated by wormholes.
A wormhole is a bridge described by the Einstein-Rosen theory that connects the same space-time universe.
At finally, here's our finishing sixth grade. This only child of a Taiwanese mother and an Israeli father is trying on a cap and gown, preparing to graduate with a 4.0 from community college.
I consider myself as a genius, because there's 6.5 billion people in this world, and each of them are smart in his or her own way.
He's not only humble, he's also personal, outgoing, and well-rounded. There is one thing that Boy Wonder does not like.
It feels kind of like a waste of time playing video games, and it feels a waste of time and trying to make humans.
Joining the original class to graduate from East Los Angeles College went to a great four-year university. He just changed his mind. He now plans on taking anywhere from 6 months to a year off to go back to what he calls his regular life.
Which is going back to martial arts competition.
This avid book reader is also writing his own book intended to teach kids how to do well academically.
I like to study just because knowledge, to get knowledge, and knowledge helps to listen. Only by listening, we can help our citizens to help the world.
And helping the world is how Moshe wants to make his mark. In Monterey Park, the Mel Tonic, Channel 4 News.
Right? Think about what some of the things even this young man said. I think this young man has much wisdom in terms of achieving in academics and even being a good martial artist at such a young age, he won many national champions in martial arts competitions. I think he mentioned about video games. He said that video games are a waste of time, and that does not contribute to humanity at all. So at such a young age, you could see that. I think it is because he played less video games. That's why he could be more focused on what really benefits him. In just 11 years, already went through half of college education. Think about how old he started actually studying. At age 2 or 4, then maybe age 4, then he only had 7 years to complete what many people would take how many years to get to the second year of college? How many years?
14
years, and he only took 7 years. Half the time. I think God has given us great potential when we have a clear goal and we are focused. We are not that distracted by things that waste our time. If you know God, if you understand God, please God, and focus on witnessing for God, then everything you do, you will be able to change the world through your righteous life by putting on the breastplate of righteousness. What the boy sets his mind and heart to do to change the world. This boy seems to be doing all right now, but I'm not sure if he is able to conquer his heart. That only by putting on the breastplate of righteousness one can do. Michael Phelps succeeded in the Olympics but failed in conquering his heart, and I hope that we all will be conquerors of our own heart's weaknesses by daily wearing the breastplate of righteousness. That's right. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that reminds us how important it is for us to put on the breastplate of righteousness so that our heart will be guarded when we do everything right according to your word. That's in the belt of truth, according to the perfect example Jesus Christ set for us, and also our counselor, the Holy Spirit, who helps us, and our closest spiritual friend who is there to help us. I just pray that we will indeed be willing to put that on and let it stay on us. Let us grow in righteousness. Let us be able to be focused on the mission God has given us to witness, to glorify God through our righteous living and through the power of the message of the gospel. May you bless us now and in eternity when we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.